This is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 11th, 2017. We'll start today's readings on the front page with Decatur Jobs Wanted, Skilled Workers. Manufacturers Digging for Employees with Right Talents. Rocky Wilkerson stood in her office drawing diagrams in the air to explain Decatur's current employment problem. As Executive Director of Workforce Investment Solutions, Wilkerson is helping lead Macon County's effort to get as many unemployed people in the area as possible back into jobs, including 400 positions now open at Caterpillar Incorporated. Wilkerson's illustration is a big hole in between two poles. The skills major employers like CAT are looking for, and the skills job seekers tend to have. When you think about having all those jobs and all those people that are not working, there's a big disconnect in the middle, she said. That is the Decatur marketplace in 2017 and across the U.S. in regions with a substantial manufacturing sector. Though the area does not have as many jobs as it did before in the 2008 financial collapse, certain sectors are hungry for new employees. But finding the right people, say job trainers, is an uphill climb. Every economic developer I talk to deals with matching the skills with what the employer needs, said Ryan McCrady, Executive Director of the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County. The Illinois Department of Employment Security reported Decatur's unemployment rate for June at 5.9%, down from 6.6% this time last year. The Decatur metropolitan area had 51,500 non-farm jobs in June, the same number as in May and in June 2016. Caterpillar clawing back after announcing second quarter results that blew past Wall Street expectations, Caterpillar said it was hiring again as orders continue to ramp up. I think it's certainly a great change in where we've been over the last several years, and that's bringing back the workforce, said Amy Campbell, Caterpillar's Director of Investment Relations. Campbell said Caterpillar's total global workforce of full-time workers actually went down, dropping by 5,200 to 94,800 compared to this time a year ago, but the number of flexible, often part-time workers shot up, increasing by 3,500 to 16,400 over the same period. Decatur's addition of production work that was previously done in Caterpillar's Aurora plant, estimated at 500 jobs, is a big reason for the spate of hiring. But Campbell said that the global demand for products that company has done at its Decatur plant has really shot up overnight. That includes the largest off-road dump trucks in the world as part of its Resource Industries division, which includes the Decatur plant on North 27th Street. For the large mining trucks, we now expect production to be triple what it was in 2016, she said. The newest jobs may not all be full-time, but Caterpillar's job listings show many manufacturing jobs that can include supplemental or contract work that offers few benefits. Wages on rise. Wages and salaries are not listed, but Larry Peterson, special projects consultant at Workforce Investment Solutions, said manufacturers are starting to offer higher wages for someone they feel will be able to learn and improve on the job. 3 or 4 years ago, you were still getting companies wanting to pay $10 or less. Now, I've seen them gravitate up to 14 with the progression. They can tell a person, if you stay with us, your advancement could be 18 to 20 with time, he said. Workforce Investment Solutions targets two major populations through mostly federal grants, people who live close to or below the poverty line and struggle in and out of largely minimum wage work, laid-off workers who usually have more marketable skill sets and tend to be older. The latter category tends to find work faster, job trainer said. But the trainers and consultants trying to connect those people to Decatur's major employers say as much as they are trying to tailor their services to people with high needs, many lose motivation and fall through the cracks. One of the Workforce Investment Solutions' many services is a general orientation for people who come in for a variety of reasons, usually to collect unemployment insurance through the state's Department of Employment Security, which is in the same office. It's just general what we do and how we do it, giving job seekers information on how to access training. And so the next steps would be fill out this application and then come back for testing, said Robin McCoy, Workforce Investment Solutions' former executive director, who still helps Wilkerson. In that next step, we lose about 50% of the original pool. The problem jibes with the demographic shifts in Decatur and across the United States. After high school age, more Americans are either struggling to get by on minimum wage work or less, or going to four-year colleges. Too many of the college-bound, said Wilkerson, are not looking at what the job market is offering. Think about all the people who go to college and spend tons and tons of money on education, and when they get out, there's nothing, Wilkerson said. One of the issues that we have here in the U.S., if you choose to go into manufacturing, I don't want to say people look at you as a failure, but you need to go to college to make good money, and that's just not true, Schwalbe said. We've got clients with a two-year certification where you'd be making over $50,000 after 2 years. That's without a college degree. For those who don't go for a bachelor's degree, the idea of simply coming into a well-paying industrial job of punching a clock, no, that's not the worker today, said Barry Schwalbe, a trainer at Richland Community College. The high-performance worker needs to be able to problem-solve, troubleshoot. Workers adding tools. For that reason, Workforce Investment Solutions has introduced a boot camp class that goes over skills such as how to interview and look for jobs. Getting together over a 6-week course, we're proving to the employer that they can stick to something, Peterson said. Still, for those who do manage to jump through the hoops and develop all the right tools to land a job, that can lead to in-demand, marketable skills. The days of staying at a single employer for an entire career, advancing in a straight line, pointing upward, is less common. It used to be you get a job at a manufacturing company. You've got a job, you build the skills, you bid on different jobs, you go up through the company, and you have your wages and benefits. Unless there's a closure or something, you pretty much have a job, McCoy said. Now, especially large companies such as Caterpillar are staying more flexible while keeping a much tighter grip on their margins, adding and dropping workers as needed. As orders come in, manufacturers are hiring people to make the product, maybe getting some supply there, and then may have to lay off those workers, McCoy said. The post-war explosion of middle-class jobs a few generations ago may not be around anymore, but job trainers say there are still great manufacturing opportunities. The training resources in the area, including Richland and Workforce Investment Solutions, have direct contact with the area's major manufacturers, Schwalbe said. He even teaches skills to workers who are already employed at Caterpillar. Caterpillar has been a real good partner for Workforce Investment Solutions. ADM's been a good partner. All of the mid-sized manufacturers that feed into CAT, McCoy said. Caterpillar came to us and held a 2-day seminar on how to apply for CAT jobs. I think 150 people showed up, Peterson said. The interest is there. You don't have to be special to do these jobs. You just have to have the attitude, Schwalbe said. Job training. Workforce Investment Solutions of Macon and DeWitt Counties, Illinois, funded through the Workforce Investment Act, is a partner in meeting the skilled employee needs of local business, supporting efforts to recruit new businesses in the region, offering access to skilled workers and training incentives, assisting businesses that are closing or downsizing to ensure that they and their employees have guidance, information, and services. Graduating to kindergarten. Program helps kids make transition from preschool to school. Decatur. Lainey Snow and Caden Deaton are buddies from attending Kids and Fitness together during their preschool years. Both are excited enough to jump up and down as they arrived at the Children's Museum of Illinois for the Education Coalition of Macon County's annual graduation ceremony. It's where kids learn to ride the school bus, how to stand in line for school lunch, and to get their milk open. Receive a certificate of completion and celebrate the start of school. I'm going to get to play, Caden said about going to kindergarten. During the summer leading up to kindergarten, said Danny Kraft, executive director of the Education Coalition, children in Decatur Schools' kindergarten safari program, 9 participating daycares, and 1 in-home daycare get focused on lessons to prepare for school. At Baum School this week, for example, kids in class with kindergarten teacher Robert Winters were already learning some math. He wrote the names of students on index cards and put them up, then put another set of cards for up showing kids who were absent, and asked the children to tell him which was less and which was more. Caden's mother, Jennifer Deaton, and Lainey's mom, Amy Snow, brought the kids to the event to have some fun and to meet others going into kindergarten. They both love that their school's daycare is also a preschool. They incorporate academics into their day, Jennifer Deaton said, and they get swimming lessons. They just do it all. Neither family had the free time necessary to move their children from daycare to preschool and back again during the workday, which made it even more important that their children's placement do it all. They learn what it's like to be in a classroom and how to follow the rules, Amy Snow said. They make friends, and watching how quickly and eagerly they learn made it all worthwhile, Snow said. One of the Education Coalition's main goals is to help families prepare kids for kindergarten, said Kraft. And this is the third year of the summer programs in cooperation with daycare and preschool centers. The first year, 5 centers participated, but this year, that number included the Decatur schools, which was a perfect fit, she said. Kindergarten Safari is a program in which children go to school early before the older children start class and meet their teachers and have some orientation time. They learn their way around the building and get used to their classroom and get to know each other before the first day of school. Rita Ellis, Community Initiatives Coordinator for the Education Coalition, was a classroom teacher last year. When teachers are teaching second or third grade, she said, they can ask their colleagues in lower grades to help them prepare for the students who might need extra help in a subject, who's shy and who's gregarious. When you're a kindergarten teacher, you have no prior knowledge. A program like this can make the transition easier. There are some tears the first day of kindergarten safari, Kraft said. By the second day, there were no tears. At the museum event, while the kids were busy on their school bus ride, parents had a chance to meet in a classroom and learn a few things to further prepare their children for school. The parents are nervous, too, Kraft said. Healthcare. Pena Hospital kicks off expansion project. New surgical suite, lab, just part of building plans. Pena. Through more than a century of newborns, treating illnesses, answering emergencies, and navigating the healthcare landscape, Pena Hospital has been there for its communities. Its imprint is about to get even bigger with a $20.1 million two-phase expansion of its facility expected to take about 18 months. Two of the oldest and youngest members of the Pena community were celebrating Thursday afternoon on the front lawn of the hospital as the hospital broke ground on its expansion. The hospital said this will be its biggest project since the early 1970s. The hospital's original building was constructed in 1914. I've been coming here since 1930, said 96-year-old June Clark Cheney, who was attending the ceremony with her family. It's where I get all my medical care, and I'm glad it's growing. Another of the guests at Thursday's event was 4-year-old Roman Pullman, with his brother Dominique, almost 3, and Cash, 6. This is where we go to the doctor and where Mom works, Roman said. Roman's mother, Jessica, is a medical technologist at the hospital. She said it is convenient to have her children's medical care in their hometown and have it provided by people she knows. It's very comfortable, and everyone else's children are here too, she said. The hospital is important to the community. That sense of community was a familiar theme Thursday for a city that has had more than its share of ups and downs in the recent years. Pena Community Hospital is jointly owned by the communities of Assumption, Cowden, Herrick, Lakewood, Nokomis, Oconee, Ullman, Owanico, Pena, Ramsey, Robinson, and Tower Hill. Pena Community Hospital has been working closely with Farnsworth Group, an architect engineering firm, and O'Shea Builders on the project. More than 30,000 square feet will be added to the back and front of the hospital and will be designed in two phases. Phase one of the project will create additional space for a new surgical site, laboratory, diagnostic imaging, cardiopulmonary, materials management, and dietary departments. Phase two of the project will create additional space for urgent care, improve access to the hospital building, and provide a contemporary waiting area with private registration offices. Pena Community Hospital received final approval from the State of Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board in May. With this required stamp of approval from the review board, Pena Community Hospital was given the green light to proceed with the expansion. The hospital currently has no debt and employs 252 full and part-time employees, according to a news release. Hospital Board Chairman Carol Schramm said that the current administration is made up entirely of Pena High School graduates. "We're looking at your health and our future," Schramm said, quoting the hospital's fundraising slogan. "We don't want to get sucked up by various corporations. We serve four counties and 21,000 people. We are the communities we serve. We know you, we care about you, and we suffer with you. There's no place else I'd rather be," she said. This week at heraldandreview.com calendar. Friday, Open Country Dancing, 7 p.m., Prairieland Dance Club, Iliopolis. Cost is $5. All ages, all styles, all levels, and all smiles. It's a barn dance. Saturday, Back to School Billiards Exhibition, 7 to 9 p.m. Starship in the Enterprise Grill. Cost is $10. Featuring Serena Black, American Pool Players Association, and Junior National Champion Sarah Rousey, Women's Professional Billiards Association. Sunday, Vinny's Barbecue Annual Block Party for the Homeless, 2 to 5 p.m. Water Street Mission. Music by DJ David Lee. In local and state news on page A3, state's attorney honors 14 who helped others. Exemplary citizens take bow. Decatur, people who stepped out of their ordinary lives to do courageous or clever things and give justice a helping hand were recognized Thursday by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. The Exemplary Citizens Award ceremony was hosted by State's Attorney Jay Scott at the Decatur Civic Center, where commemorative plaques and coins were presented to 14 recipients. Those honored ranged from a man who witnessed a murder, identified the killer to police, and testified against him at trial, to a car burglary victim who managed to photograph the suspect, which gave police the break they needed to make an arrest. "Without doubt, this award ceremony is our favorite thing to do at work all year," Scott said of his office. "We look forward to it. It's fun, and the people who get the awards appreciate them. It's just a nice thing." Scott's office created the award in 2014 and has presented 47 since. Candidates are selected by Scott and his staff, and they review information on pending cases. Scott then waits until legal proceedings are concluded before arranging the award ceremony. "I've already got 5 or 6 people on the list for next year, Scott added. The 2017 winners are Kevin E. Waller for following an impaired driver, blocking him and trying to persuade him not to drive. The driver was sentenced to 11 years in prison. Lisa Rowcliffe for stopping a brutal attack on a man of in Decatur's Central Park by telling the attacker she was calling the police, then remaining at the scene and identifying the assailants to police. Crystal L. Mendenhall for calling the police so they could arrest an impaired driver before he could drive off with two children in his car. Nicholas A. Thornell, Kirk M. Searlock, and Brandon A. Arnold, neighbors who struggled with and held a car burglar until police arrived. Mary E. Fromm and Taja Cooper, who in separate incidents stayed calm while being the victims of armed robberies and collected crucial information that helped police arrest the robbers. Jimmy Mabin, who witnessed a murder, identified the gunman and testified against him. The killer received an 87-year sentence. Timothy J. Clark, for rendering assistance and staying with a man suffering from a severe head wound after a car crash. Robert D. Guthrie, who spotted two burglars working his neighborhood and collected vehicle and other information that helped police catch them. Kemper C. Wilcutt, the second, recognized a suspect he met on the street as the same person shown in a security video burglarized his car 4 days earlier. Wilcutt photographed the man, and police later used this picture to identify and arrest the suspect. First Tech unveils renovations. McCrady, $4 million project shows commitment to Decatur. After an estimated $4 million worth of renovations, First Tech officially unveiled its new and improved service center during an open house and ribbon-cutting ceremony Thursday afternoon. The introduction of the sleek and refreshed office space comes a year after the payment processing company announced plans to transform its block of facilities located at East Main and South Park Streets. Last spring, the First Tech buildings along East Main were demolished, as was a drive-through window operated by Busey Bank. The buildings at 265 South Park Street were remodeled, and a new drive-through window was installed on the east side of the Busey branch at 130 South Water Street. These buildings were really due for an upgrade, Executive Vice President of Operations Bill Barini said with a laugh. We've received lots of support to make these renovations. In addition to investments from First Tech and Busey Bank's parent company, the Champaign-based First Busey Corporation, the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, agreed to administer enterprise zone incentives that will become available to First Tech after the remodeling project was finished. As a result of the agreement, the City of Decatur will provide the company with 5 years of graduated property tax abatement. During a brief address to those attending First Tech's reopening ceremony, Economic Development Corporation President Ryan McCrady praised the company for its willingness to remain in Decatur as opposed to relocating elsewhere. To have that reinvestment in our central business district just improves the economy of this area, this neighborhood, and the employees that are down here, McCrady said. It also shows First Tech's commitment to the Decatur community. First Tech was founded in Decatur more than 30 years ago and has been headquartered in the city ever since. Barini said the company's decision to remain in Decatur mostly stemmed out of consideration for its 50 employees, as some of them have been with First Tech since the beginning. Looking toward the future, the renovations to First Tech and Busey downtown properties could make way for the company to expand its presence in the area, Barini said. We're really excited about this, he said. This will be good for the community. Mayor Julie Moore Wolfe echoed that sentiment during her address before the ribbon was cut at the facility. She said she was delighted that First Tech remained home in Decatur and is looking forward to watching it thrive. First Tech was born here, grew up here, and we hope it will be very, very old and successful here because that's what we're all about, she said. Teen admits causing fatal accident. Boy, 7, hit crossing street. Sentencing September 22nd. Charleston, a 19-year-old woman admitted Thursday to a charge that accused her of causing an accident that killed a boy in Mattoon 2 years ago. Michaela D. McCullough entered the equivalent of a guilty plea to a charge of juvenile court that accused her of using a cell phone at the time of the accident. The accident happened April 23, 2015, when 7-year-old Joshua Schneider was running across the 600 block of South 14th Street in Mattoon. Police identified McCullough as the driver of the car that hit him. The Mattoon boy died 2 days later at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Police said McCullough was texting on her phone at the time of the accident. McCullough is now 19, but was charged with juvenile offenses in connection with the accident, but she was 17 at that time. In court Thursday, Coles County State's Attorney Brian Bauer filed a new petition against McCullough that contained a single charge, aggravated unlawful use of a communication device. With McCullough admitting to that charge, she no longer faces charges filed against her. Those charges were aggravated driving under the influence and possession of drug paraphernalia. They accused her of having marijuana in her system and having a pipe for drug use at the time of the accident. A DUI charge is possible if any detectable amount of marijuana is found in a driver's system, and driver impairment at the time of the accident isn't required for the offense. There was no agreement Thursday on the sentence McCullough would receive, and Circuit Judge Matt Sullivan scheduled her hearing for September 22nd. The judge told McCullough that the maximum sentence for the offense is 3 years in the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice, the juvenile equivalent of prison. Prison time won't be required. McCullough said her attorney, Assistant Public Defender Matt Hamm, acknowledged that the prosecution's evidence would show that her cell phone use was the proximate cause of the accident and the injuries that killed the boy. She lived in Mattoon at the time of the accident, but there are no public records that show her current address. In briefs, four vehicle crash kills driver. A driver died at the scene of an accident on Interstate 70 Wednesday afternoon, the Illinois State Police said in a news release. Four vehicles were involved in the accident, which occurred about 1:30 p.m., police said. Daniel T. Waterfield, 61, of Plainfield, Indiana, was pronounced dead at the scene. At mile marker 107, 2 miles east of Montrose in Cumberland County, three of the vehicles were stopped and slowing at a construction zone in the eastbound lane, police said. The driver of a semi-truck, Cole A. Johnson, 24, of Shelbyville, did not slow down and ran into Waterfield's vehicle, police said. This pushed Waterfield's vehicle into the semi-truck in front of him, which then hit a third semi-truck. Johnson was cited for failure to reduce speed to avoid a crash, police said. Victim of fatal crash named. A motorcyclist who was killed in an accident Tuesday afternoon has been identified as 29-year-old Justin Howell of Decatur, according to the Macon County Coroner's Office. Deputy Chief Coroner D. Coventry said in a news release that Howell was pronounced dead at 3:28 p.m. Tuesday as a result of severe trauma of the head and neck. A toxicology report and an inquest are both pending, she said. Police said that the accident happened at 3:09 p.m. after Howell collided with an SUV at 19th and East Prairie Streets. Howell was taken to a local hospital where he later died from his injuries, police said. The two occupants of the SUV were not injured in the crash, police said. Garage fire displaces resident. One person was displaced after a fire damaged the garage of a one-story home Wednesday night, the Decatur Fire Department said. The fire department said multiple units were dispatched to a home at 288 Galway Park Drive about 7 p.m. and cleared the scene about 9:02 p.m. An estimated $58,000 in damage was caused by the fire department said. The fire department said that no injuries were reported after the fire and that the displaced person has temporarily been moved to a hotel. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Now we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 11th, 2017. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.